against global warming, which is now melting ice sheets, raising sea levels, destroying coral reefs, and disrupting weather systems across the planet. The Paris Climate Agreement in 2015 pledged that nations would try to limit temperature rises to less than 1.5 degrees Celsius by drastically limiting fossil fuel emissions, the principal cause of global warming. Glasgow will be the first opportunity to assess the impact of the promises made in Paris in 2015 and to implement new measures to avert global catastrophe. The Group of Seven, the G7, had offered hope that this process could be boosted in advance of COP26, the Glasgow Climate Change Conference 2021. But Patricia Spinoza expressed disappointment, saying, "Regarding finance, I'd have really hoped for a clearer signal on how and when we will be able to see the commitment to mobilize the $100 billion fulfilled. Honoring the pledge is seen as critical if developing countries are to come into line with plans to cut greenhouse gas emissions and take costly steps necessary to reduce their reliance on fossil fuels." At the G7 meeting, there were commitments to get to the target before the Glasgow Climate Change Conference 2021, but a lack of detail remained about precisely how much money the wealthier nations would be willing to give. This is one condition to be able to have a good basis to have a successful COP26, Patricia Spinoza said. "It is essential. We cannot afford a lack of success. COP26 should be able to give some sense of hope to the world. And there isn't much time. We are already in the second half of June." This point was backed by Rachel Kite, Dean of Fletcher School at Tufts University in Massachusetts and a former United Nations climate envoy. Rachel Kite said, "The G7 meeting failed to lead when it didn't agree how to fulfill the $100 billion promise. Their apparent strategy of brinkmanship is wrong-headed. Many around the world are already at the brink," she said. The United Kingdom has 6 months left to its G7 presidency and 5 months to go until COP26, the Glasgow United Nations Climate Change Summit. Boris Johnson has to muster the world to significant climate finance commitments, proposing development finance and detail behind the Global Marshall Plan that President Biden calls Build Back Better World. Then and only then can we get the agreement we need in Glasgow. Patricia Spinoza added that there were still doubts about whether the summit would be held with all delegates attending in person, or whether it might be staged partly or wholly in a virtual format. If there were surges in COVID-19, plans would have to be adapted accordingly. As Spinoza said, "We're working on all possible scenarios, from a fully-fledged conference to a conference that would be virtual," she said. "It is true, the UK presidency is working very hard to have a physical meeting."
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord.
Muhammad,
praise be upon Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Youth Station Choo Choo Kachoo. It's the youth station for you. I'm your host, Muzaffar Haider. Here in the studio today, we have with us Brother Mehdi Najafi.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Whoever's listening, whoever's yet to listen, whoever will never listen.
We're talking about joy in Islam. Joy in Islam?
In general, and then probably in Islam.
Yeah, joy.
What is joy?
What is joy?
I think it's a name.
Who is joy? Did you ever know a girl called Joy?
No, I've heard of.
Yeah, it's a popular girl's name. But we're not talking about that joy either.
Because joy. She's not in Islam.
Yeah. Happiness?
Happiness.
Happiness? Yeah, I think people mix up these two things, joy and ridaya.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, sometimes...
You're right, actually, and that is what takes them on the wrong path, because they think joy, be it temporary, is going to give them rida and satisfaction. It doesn't.
So they kind of think that I need to be smiling and then joyous all the time. Man, that ain't right. If you've seen times where... Sorry to cut you off, but is there times where you are frowning and you're deep in contemplation? Maybe you're even angry about something or upset, but you're still satisfied? Inside, you're kind of happy, but you wouldn't describe your mood as joyous?
I don't know if this might be a bit controversial, but what about Majlis of Imam Hussein, Azza of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam? We are mourning Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. But that feeling that we have, one of the scholars, he was trying to answer a question that most of the people that do not agree with Karbala or Azza in general, commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. They're like, what do you mean? A person has passed away, fair enough, he was martyred this many years ago, and every year you join together and you stop everything that brings you joy and you start crying. What purpose does it have?
What is all this pain, this crying and sadness?
Yeah, you're spreading this negative energy around you wherever you are, you know. And the scholar was like, he was asking the people who were there, because this was at Majlis itself, and he was like, okay, how many of you people were forced to come over here? And how many of you, once you leave this Majlis, are dissatisfied with life? Dissatisfied with life in the sense that, oh, you want more, and you just don't want to exist anymore, and stuff like that. Those depressive vibes. No, they're not there.
Mm.
Why? Because that mourning that we have, fair enough, we're not happy with what happened, and it does motivate us to do certain things that we would not be motivated throughout the year. But once we leave, and once we pour those tears for Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, we do get this sense of, that's why I said it's a bit controversial, joy within us.
There's
this energy, there's this joy.
We're crying and our faces look sad, but inside, deep inside, there's a real joy.
Yeah. When you said that, have you been in a state when you're contemplating or you're frowning, but you've actually been satisfied or joyous? That's what got me to this point, that at times we're actually crying.
Yeah.
But we're joyous inside.
And the opposite is also true. Sometimes you're smiling and you're laughing, but you are dying inside.
You're actually miserable inside.
Yeah. And some people who are actually, like, you know, clinically depressed will, like, laugh really loudly in public and, you know, over laugh at jokes, and it's just awkward. And the external, this idea of joy isn't...
External. It's not visible.
Yeah.
It's been
misinterpreted. Uh-huh. And our objective shouldn't be to acquire joy. Now, when it comes to joy in Islam...
You need to elaborate that, bro.
Huh? Our objective should not be to...
Yeah.
I mean, our objective should not be to gain the superficial joy. Superficial joy.
Right. Or did you mean that our objective should not be joy itself, but something greater than that, which would provide us with joy as something that's just there?
Yeah, real joy that's inside. Mm-hmm. So, okay, imagine this. There is a guy Imagine this picture.
All right, right? I'm trying to picture it now.
Just picture the picture, okay?
Yeah.
There's a Maulana on one side, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a kid on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a speech bubble above his head.
Yeah,
and
okay.
It says, I
above whose head?
Above the kid.
Oh, right.
And he's so the speech bubble is his, and he's saying, I want happiness, right? And then the next frame, the Maulana, he erases I want. All that's left
is happiness.
And he goes, there you go. And he's smiling.
Oh, that is insane. Did you just come up with that?
I saw it a while ago.
That is beautiful, though.
But that's what it's about. It's just having happiness. Just be happy, man. I mean, it's easier said than done, but it really is about just being. There's too many people who are human doings. They're not being human beings. Brother Mehdi, don't you feel sometimes that you're doing things? You are doing good deeds. You're doing salah.
It's not part of you now.
No.
Okay, that's what you mean. Okay.
So, for example, and we have a precedence for this in the Quran, a verse which has always stood out to me is kind of odd. So when Prophet Nuh, his son, he turned into an evil doer. He was a disbeliever. And Allah tells him he is...
Yeah, let me read that out loud somewhere.
Yeah.
قال يا نوح
قال يا نوح إنه ليس من أهلك إنه عمل غير صالح.
He said, O Noah, indeed he is not of your family. Indeed, he is one whose work was other than righteous. So ask me not for that about which you have no knowledge. Indeed, I advise you, lest you be among the ignorant.
So yeah, that's something you were talking about, okay.
He is actually, other than good deeds. This is the only place in the Quran where I've seen it in this way. He actually is other than good deeds.
Yeah, precisely. You know, when people say that, Arabs used to say that as a, you know, how do you say it? It's just the way the language is.
Mm.
Fair enough. But the thing is, the Quran is besides what Arabs used to say. You know, the Quran
it's
is also what Arabs used to say, but it's much more accurate. So when I pick something up literally from the Quran, hey, don't blame me for being wrong. Because the Quran is precise.
Yeah,
you know
Allah
saying?
Could have said, you know, he hasn't done good deeds. He
yeah,
doesn't say that.
Yeah.
Maybe he did do good deeds.
Yeah,
he says he is himself. Other than good. So anyway,
let me finish the translation.
Yeah.
It says he is work other than righteous. So that's what we want to say, that this guy is himself. What, he is something that's not righteous.
Yeah, I mean it's the difference between doing something and being something.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have to recognize that you become your deeds.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that saying, you know, that you control your thoughts become your words become your actions become your habits become your character becomes your destiny. Right? It is, you're forming yourself, you're creating yourself. There's a beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet, Imam Khomeini narrates it, and he says that when the Holy Prophet had gone in Mi'raj, he saw that there were certain angels and they were building beautiful palaces and things, but every once in a while they would stop.
Mm-hmm.
They'd stop building these palaces. So, and then after a while they'd start again. So he said, he asked Angel Jibreel, why are they stopping and
stopping? Yeah, because they don't need rest.
They don't need rest. They're angels, right? They're made of the pure light of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Angel Jibreel informs the Prophet and he says that every time the materials for building that thing comes,
they start building.
Carry
on. Yeah.
And every time they run out of those materials, they stop because they can't build anymore. And then he asks, what is the material? He says, that's the dhikr of Allah that the servants are doing. Every time we do the dhikr of Allah, we remember Allah, we're actually building our hereafter. So Imam Khomeini expands on this point, and he says that, look, we have to recognize that every moment of our lives, we are building our hereafter.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a parallel universe, in other words.
Yeah, it's happening almost simultaneously. It's just... scary.
And we're actively involved or disinvolved.
Yeah. We come back to that, though. We're going to go for a short break.
Yeah. This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
So anyway, when it comes to joy now, where does Islam say that you should have joy? I mean, does it want us to be joyous? The short answer is yes. Islam commands us, in fact, to be friendly and happy and cheerful with our brothers and sisters, with our fellow Muslims.
That's cheerful, but like, we're talking about joy, aren't we?
Cheerful, joy, yeah. Is there a difference?
Yeah, like being cheerful is something like that. I'm cheerful. I'm a cheerful person. Like being joy, like the inner joy that I have, it might be like different. For example, as you said, there's certain people who are cheerful and they're happy and everything, but deep inside they're just gone. You know, they're dead. They're dead. Well, dead could be positive, but what I mean is
there's also hadith that tells us that, you know, a believer's joy is on his face
and his cheerfulness.
Sorrow is deep down in his heart, right?
Yeah, but that sorrow, like, for example, there's a hadith that says that if you do this, the hadith Qudsi, I'm not going to go on to the depths of it, but it says if you do this, the fruit of this is huznud da'im.
Huznud da'im?
Yeah, you're always going to be hazin.
Angry, upset?
Grief. You're going to have this grief. Yes. But the thing is, that grief is different. You know, having the grief in my heart because I'm not as close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I should have been is a complete different grief than the grief that I had when I broke my iPhone.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So that husn al-daim is different. That encourages you to go close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But coming back to being joyous, is you know, why we fast is because it helps us, besides the fact that we do get a glimpse of what the lives of the unfortunate are like, it gives us the ability to cut off from things that are material, right? And once we do that, we realize that, you know, there's so much more to life than those things that are material. So what I'm coming to is that fair enough, we're human beings, we don't completely cut off to them, but that emotional attachment that we have to these material things, you know, تُعْرَفُ الْأَشْيَاءُ بِأَضْدَادِهَا. Things are recognized by their opposites, right? So once we get a hold of the root which has given us this grief and dissatisfaction, we can get a hold on what brings joy. And as we said, in Islam, you know, is all this unnecessary attachment that I have to things around me is the cause, the root of dissatisfaction and not being happy. And as you said, the kid said, "I want happiness." And when the person removed, erased, "I want," he was left with happiness. So once we take the "I" out of the equation, we are satisfied, and the joy is a part of our existence now, not something that we are showing or we are doing, as you said.
That's all we have time for today. We hope that you enjoyed and benefited from the show. From myself and Brother Mahdi, we bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator, my alpha and omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker, abiding in silence and
food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and since today is the auspicious 11th of Zilqa'dah, the birthday anniversary of the Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Raza, peace be upon him, let us contemplate on one of his sayings on the blessings of the presence of the divinely ordained Imam in society. The Imam is a kind of father, a helper brother, a compassionate mother to a minor child, and a refuge for servants in severe calamities.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Elders in an Indonesian town are rewarded with live chickens if they get vaccinated for COVID-19. Officials in a town of Sipanas launched the program after the vaccination campaign faced a low turnout from the public. Many have been reluctant to receive a jab over various reasons. Some say they were afraid they would die if they get vaccinated. Now it seems that the rewards they take have worked well and more people are willing to get a shot. Officials in the Indonesian town say they go door to door to give the elderly jabs and chickens to show their appreciation.
Over 300 classic vehicles have taken part in a retro rally across Estonia. The 1,000-kilometer rally kicked off in the town of Paide. It drew participants from Latvia and Finland. Their motto is Straight Ahead to the Past. The vintage cars participated in the event are mostly produced between 1930 and 1980. Experts say all the vehicles are in good condition. However, they doubt if all the vehicles can make it to the end of the five-day rally. A Palestinian artist has come up with the idea of making children feel happy after the recent Israeli aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip left many people dead. Amna Sami is a young Palestinian artist who has gathered Palestinian kids in the city of Beit Lahia, north of Gaza. That's where houses were destroyed by Israeli airstrikes and bombings during the recent aggression on the territory. Sami draws the Palestinian flag as well as the map of Palestine on children's cheeks as patriotic symbols. She says she does that to say that these people in the midst of destruction will become strong again. Sami says by painting on kids' faces, she wants to send a message to the world.
I'm sending a message to the world that our children should live like other children in the world, away from danger and destruction. It is their right in life to live as children in a safe place, a place that gives them something to live a normal life.
Palestinian kids say they feel happy when Sami paints their faces. The Israeli regime launched this devastating onslaught on Gaza. In early May, at least 256 Palestinians, including 66 children, were killed during the 11-day war. Turkish band has found musical inspiration in a most unlikely place, a local landfill. Here's more. Members of Funk Istanbul have assembled instruments from the dump in a junkyard in Istanbul. They use their ingenious new tools to play Turkish folk music. The band aims to raise awareness about recycling. Turkey is one of the biggest producers of municipal waste globally. The country has a low recycling rate. Only 12% of waste is repurposed there.
Technology has come in handy to rescue animals in disaster zones. American cinematographer Douglas Thron has used a high-tech infrared drone to save animals from fire or storm, or even those who are stuck in trees. The drone he uses has a large thermal camera, a spotlight, and zoom lens. The good point is that the aerial vehicle does not make too much noise. Therefore, it does not scare away animals.
So what I do is I fly infrared drones primarily at night over disaster areas after a hurricane or a fire hits, and I look for people's pets, whether it be cats or dogs, and I also look for injured wildlife, and then either I or rescue crews will go in and rescue the animals after I spot the animals after these natural disasters.
Thron has so far rescued hundreds of stranded animals in various places in the US and Australia. Emergency services have allowed him to participate in rescue efforts after making sure that the drone works well to achieve its goal. A video has gone viral showing animals at a US zoo enjoying their bath time becoming clean as a new pin. Keepers at Chicago's Brookfield Zoo washed the animals to celebrate International Bath Day. From anteaters to rhinos all got sprayed with a water hose. They seemed to love their bath time as it kept them cool in the summer heat. Zoo officials say the occasion is to honor ancient Greek scientist Archimedes, who made a discovery while in the bath. Might be pleased to know life is going back to normal as countries around the world are easing coronavirus restrictions. Disneyland in the French capital, Paris, is saying bonjour to visitors once again with all necessary precautions. Bet everyone missed that. The theme park reopened its doors to the public with limited tickets and an online reservation system. All visitors over 6 years old are required to wear face masks and to observe social distancing guidelines. New attractions, including a hotel and various car rides, are also available for guests. Disneyland Paris was shut for over 7 months due to rising COVID-19 infections. This is the first time since January 2020 that all the six Disney resorts are open. Children have their own ways of remembering the dead. In Gaza, Palestinian kids fly kites in memory of their peers who lost their lives in the recent Israeli onslaught. Dozens of kids participated in the event, holding kites bearing the pictures of 66 little victims. According to the organizers, the goal was to send a message to people around the world that Palestinian kids have the right to live a free and happy life. The children said their dream is to fly in the sky without any restrictions or wars. A herd of wild Asian elephants in China has turned into international stars after leaving their natural habitat in Yunnan province. The herd of 15 elephants is said to have left home in southwest China 15 months ago, but it was in April when they grabbed officials' attention after they were spotted by locals. The elephants have so far trekked nearly 500 kilometers across the country. They have traveled through villages and towns and even stopped for a rest.
Local authorities have welcomed these mammoth travelers with treats of sweet corn and bananas. They are monitoring the elephant's movements with drones while keeping them away from residential areas.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Chinese grandma has given a dazzling display of her masterly kung fu performance at a martial arts competition. The 98-year-old woman and her son took the stage as a curtain raiser to the event. The duo put on a kung fu show before a large crowd of spectators who were impressed by her skillful gestures. She was invited to the competition to act as a judge.
I started practicing martial arts when I was only 5. I would box every day, learning movements like chopping, pushing palm, and thrusting palm. Though I am old now, my strength hasn't gone.
Zhang says she's inherited her family's martial arts. She's rumored to have a sense of justice from a very young age and try to help others, which earned her quite a reputation where she lives. Traditional martial arts have been passed down in the Zhongkang village located in Zhejiang province for 500 years. Go to Italy, where Mount Etna has put on an eye-catching show with its spectacular eruptions. Red-hot lava fountains and plumes of smoke spewed up into the sky. The main eruption was located at the southeastern crater of the volcano. Mount Etna is Europe's tallest active volcano. It's located above the Sicilian town of Catania. It often erupts but rarely causes damage. However, nearby residents have to deal with ash showers. Geological studies show that Mount Etna has been active for more than 2 million years now. Egypt has opened its first archaeological replica factory in an attempt to promote its culture worldwide. The factory was inaugurated in response to people's demand for having detailed copies of ancient treasures. So far, over 6,400 high-quality replicas of ancient Egyptian artifacts have been produced. More than 150 artists work to make the goods out of stone, wood, and even gold.
The materials with which these are made are high quality. The highest and most elegant materials are being used to make these samples, and the materials are very close to those used to make the original artifacts.
The models have certificates showing that they are identical copies of the original artifacts. Each replica also has a barcode that provides extra information about the item. The factory is located in Kalyuba, about 35 kilometers northeast of the capital, Cairo.
Now, a lot of people don't like rats and find them disgusting most of the time. However, the rodents are doing life-saving work in Cambodia. Now, the Southeast Asian nation has deployed a new squad of African giant pouched rats to sniff out old landmines. The new recruits have shown an exceptional ability at their task, with their handlers claiming 100% accuracy. There are now nearly 50 demining rats working in the field in Cambodia. The country started using the animal services in 2016, and they have helped detect and clear hundreds of landmines since. Last year, an especially heroic rat called Magawa attracted global fame after receiving a gold medal for his work. The hero rat, who is now retired, detected over 71 landmines.
A muralist from Greece is blending mythology with graffiti and street art to depict how COVID-19 has impacted lives around the globe. Ficus Antonius has painted the walls of many cities around the globe, is now in the Cypriot capital, Nicosia, to continue his work. His latest artwork depicts Americus, a Cypriot mythical figure who was punished by the gods and turned into a plant. The Greek artist believes this theme is similar to the situation people around the globe have experienced since the pandemic began. He explains many people have grown roots because they're staying in one place for so long. Two British artists have brought a combination of fun art and environmental concerns to the sidelines of the G7 summit. They have created a modern-day version of famous sculpture carved into America's Mount Rushmore. This time, it's called Mount Recyclemore. Joe Rush and Alex Rackage have made a sculpture of G7 leaders with electronic waste. They say their major goal is to raise awareness about the amount of unrecycled tech and gadgets, the damage they cause to the environment, and the ways to combat the issue internationally.
Well, what I'd like them to do, the leaders of the G7 conference, is I'd like them all to talk to each other and work out a plan that isn't just shifting the problem from one country to another, you know, but actually is a plan that we all work on together, which is how to deal with this waste and how to stop producing so much waste and how to recycle things. And all these issues have got to be dealt with globally. They can't be dealt with nationally because that's where the problem is. So we need them all to get together, like we've put them together here, and deal with the problem.
The United Nations says 53 million tons of electronic waste are generated annually all over the world. It estimates that the amount of the waste will double in less than 30 years. If that happens, electronic waste would become the fastest growing waste stream in the world. Advanced robots are increasingly helping humans in a variety of innovative ways. Now, they have found a place in the healthcare system and will help nurses and doctors stay safe during the COVID-19 pandemic.
I can do all kinds of things for elderly people. I can visit with people and brighten their day with social stimulation, entertain and help guide exercise, but also can do talk therapy, take bio readings and help healthcare providers assess their health and deliver treatments.
Grace, which is the newest humanoid robot to join the healthcare fleet. This intelligent machine can take temperatures and record other vital signs of patients. It has been designed in a way to also interact with the elderly and those isolated by the pandemic. Grace is a new prototype of celebrity humanoid robot, Sophia, created by a robotic team in Hong Kong.
So we designed Grace to look professional in a healthcare setting. So that would mean so that she would resemble the sort of human-like appearance of healthcare staff. And so then this would facilitate more natural interactions. A human-like appearance facilitates trust and facilitates a natural engagement because we're wired for human face-to-face interactions. That's just the way human beings are.
Hansen, a while standing between Sophia and Grace, also said that both robots could speak different languages. He said Grace's creation was aimed at relieving the burden of frontline hospital staff dealing with COVID-19 patients. The company is planning a mass production of Grace and offers them to the market by August. The cost of making this robot is similar to a luxury car, but the cost is likely to decrease once the company begins manufacturing it in its thousands.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina. Rabbitu
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear sisters and brothers in Islam and humanity, Salaamu Alaikum, Eid Mubarak. Today is the birthday anniversary of Shia's 8th Imam, Imam Reza, peace be upon him. Congratulations to all Shia brothers and sisters all around the world.
I would like to say to my mom, I really love my mom. I really want to do everything for Islam, and I really want that my mom help us all moments and momnas to become muttaqi and prepare ourselves for the coming of 12th Imam.
I will ask Imam Reza alayhi salam, please grant me permission to visit your holy shrine once again.
Assalamu alaikum, ya. Imam Musa Raza alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaykum ya Imam Raza alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaykum ya Qaribat wa Qurba. Assalamu alaykum ibn Musa Raza. Assalamu alaykum Shamsu Shamus. Assalamu alaykum all spreader of tools. Assalamu alaykum Ali ibn Musa Raza.
Today, Tuesday, is the 11th of Zilqada, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 1st of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we offer thousands of congratulations on the birthday anniversary of our dear Imam, Imam Reza, peace be upon him. Eid Mubarak to everyone. The 8th infallible Imam, Imam Reza, was born on Zulqada 11th, 148 in Medina. His father was Imam Kazim alayhi salam, and his mother was Najma, who was one of the most prominent women of that era. He assumed leadership at the age of 36, concurrent with the rule of Abbasid ruler Ma'mun, and at his insistence, the Imam alayhi salam migrated to Khorasan and agreed to become his successor with some conditions. In the city of Khorasan in Iran, he conducted debates with the scholars of other religions, and all of them concealed his greatness and bowed to his knowledge and learning. Whenever he sat to eat food, he had already given away part of all the dishes to the poor and then started eating. At night, he slept very little and stayed up from evening to dawn. He fasted very often and never neglected the 3 days of fasting every month. That is, the first and the last Thursday of the month and the Wednesday of the middle. He used to visit the households of the needy in the darkness of nights to help them. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially today's special, I congratulate all of you on the birthday anniversary of Imam Reza, peace be upon him.
Born 1,000 years ago in Medina, visited by 30 million every year from all corners of the globe for his benevolence, sought by every nation for his generosity, from the lineage of mercy to the worlds, the perfect man, most merciful of men, who Prophet Muhammad, from the pure progeny of Ali and Fatima, Reza, the eighth infallible Imam.
Why he is called Ar-Riza? The historians and narrators have differed over the person who gave this exalted nickname to the holy Imam, to the extent that it has prevailed him and become a name through which he is recognized. Some narrators believe that it was Imam Musa Kazem who gave this nickname to his son. Imam al-Jawad has said, "Verily Allah the Blessed and Most High named him Ar-Riza, for he was the pleasure of Allah, the exalted, the great, in his heaven, of his messenger, and of the imams, the blessings of Allah be upon them after him." One of the companions of Imam asked him, "Weren't all your past forefathers, peace be upon them, the pleasure of Allah, the exalted, the great, of his messenger, and of the imams after him?" "Yes," replied Imam al-Jawad, "because both his opposing enemies and obedient supporters were pleased with him, while this did not happen to any of his fathers, so only he was called Ar-Riza." On behalf of my colleagues, I offer congratulations to all dear Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world on the birthday anniversary of Imam Reza, peace be upon him. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. The eighth infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam was very much attentive to reciting the Holy Quran. It's related that Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam recited the whole Quran within 3 days. And he also mentioned that he was capable of reciting the Holy Quran in 1 day. However, while reciting the Holy Quran, after each verse, the eighth infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam used to pause for some moments, and he used to think about the precepts and instructions and the cases of revelation of those Quranic verses. And this indicates that we in our mode of Quran recitations, we shouldn't hurry up in order to finish a round of reciting the Holy Quran as fast as possible. Rather, in emulation of the practices of the eighth infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam, we are expected to recite the Holy Quran with utmost attention. The eighth infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam was such a personality that he used to keep a vigil at night time because of being attentive to his worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and acts of acts of piety. He used to fast each month at the beginning, the middle, and the last and the final day of each month. And he used to indicate that whoever keeps fasting on the beginning, middle, and the last day of each month, it's as if this person kept fasting the whole month. And of course, such kind of fasting isn't obligatory or mandatory like Ramadan. Rather, this is quite supplementary and volitional. Thank you very much for listening to this episode.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا ما
بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate Celebrate Let's celebrate الله الله Thank you for this day.
Morality of Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza, helping a needy traveler. Ibn Hamza has reported, I was in the presence of Imam Reza, peace be upon him, where a group of people asked him questions about what was lawful and unlawful. A tall man joined the gathering and said, I am a devotee of yours and of your ancestors. I'm returning from Hajj. I have lost my money and my provision. I have nothing on me to travel furthermore. Should you help me to reach my hometown? Allah has blessed me. When I reach my hometown, I will give a charity what you have given me, for I am not entitled to charity. Imam Reza said, May Allah bless you. Take a seat here. Then the Imam released the people, and there were only the Imam, the needy traveler, and I. Then the Imam entered the room, closed the door, and stretched his hand out of an opening, saying, Where is the man from Khorasan? The man said, I'm here. Then Imam said, Take this purse of 200 dinars. Spend it for your living costs. Seek blessing of Allah. Don't give any charity and leave this house so that we will not see each other. When the traveler left, I asked, Why did you cover your face then? The Imam said, In order not to see humiliation and abasement in his face for having fulfilled his needs.
We want to interview Brother Siptain, Sayyid Siptain, about Imam Reza and about the feeling which he had. You went to Mashhad 1.5 years ago, and you, first time when you entered, when you stepped the holy shrine of Imam, I want you to know, what was your feeling at that time?
I was just waiting to visit Mashhad like from 4 years. So I just tried, and I got very lucky to get a chance to visit Mashhad. And my feeling was very good, because I was like thinking that I'm going to visit my master. And the feeling which I had was very good, and the tears were rolling on my cheeks. So it's a very good feeling that you visit someone, you have never met them before, and you have never seen them before, and you visit them after a very long time, so it makes you very, very good feeling.
It really doesn't mean that you have to kiss the doors and the holy shrine. It is just like maintaining or keeping a very your contact from your soul to soul. Like, it doesn't really mean to kiss all the doors. I just wanted to make my contact, like, a very firm and strong contact with my master to go over there. And I really got that thing. I remember I just went to Holy Shrine, like, 3 times a day, most of the time. And this was really, I was trying to make my contact with my master. And I remember I used to spend like hours in Holy Shrine, like 3 hours, 4 hours, sometimes doing nothing, just standing and watching his shrine. And it was really a very good feeling.
Thousands of congratulations on birthday anniversary of our 8th Imam, Imam Musa Reza, peace be upon him. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.